Okay, are we in spring, fall, or winter? We're supposed to be in the burr months, and it's like, okay, we're like in January, or I mean, you know, maybe September, or, yeah. It's kind of like fall came, you know, they have these things on Facebook. You get your fall, then you get your fake fall, then you actually get your late fall, and then you get your winter, then you get your fake winter, and, the, you know. Iowa is just weird that way, but that's the way God made it. That's the way it is. We thank him for the warm days. I've noticed a lot of Christmas lights are up. I know the guy on my folks' street, he always has like things. He decorates every holiday. I mean, every holiday. So he finally hurried up and took down his Halloween, which was nice. I mean, my mom and I were driving by. We're like, we should tell him there's some spots there he missed. And because he still had some yard left. He had a lot this year. But I know last year he put up lights that had music and you could listen to it and they were always going and having fun. And so this year he's got a lot of his stuff out and then he's got this big turkey in the front, blow up turkey. I'm like, oh, maybe he's the orchestra to make everything work. But it's fun to see things like that. I've seen a lot of Christmas lights up. I still see Halloween. It's like, okay, people, you just want to knock on their door and say, can we please take this stuff down for you? You know, it's Thanksgiving now. This holiday is gone and over with, but people don't understand, and, you know, we understand that. We just pray for them and say, okay, Lord, give them a revelation. It's time to put that stuff away. But it's nice that we haven't even done our Christmas lights over at their house yet. We're going to hopefully do that this weekend if it's nice. Usually we do it on Thanksgiving. Even if it's 40 degrees and it's really, really windy, we go out and have fun. It's just something that we do. All right. Well, today's message, as you see, is want. And it came to me from a question by Apostle Keith. We started singing the song, I Speak Jesus. And when we started singing it, we sang it. We probably sang it a dozen times or more. And he goes, I wonder why they keep saying, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Why would you want to? You should just speak it. And that I pondered on that for months and months and months. I'm like, there's got to be something there. So I was thinking about it, and like I said, a lot of people have been talking about Charlie Kirk's death. I know I have too, but it's like a light bulb went on when he passed, or was assassinated, I shouldn't say passed. And it was the very first Sunday after he was assassinated. Debbie got the music, and it was all about Jesus, which was great. There was one song, I swear this was a God thing. There's only one song that we did not have in our books. And I don't know why. I don't know where it went. I know we have it. So she said, just find one that's themed. So I saw I Speak Jesus. I'm like, okay, we'll play that song. We haven't heard in a while. And I'm sitting back there. I'm always the person that can hear just the first two notes of the song and know what it is. God's just given me ability to do that. I heard that and I started crying because I heard this is Charlie Kirk's song. And I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute here. That, you know, and then we started speaking, I just want. And that's where I figured it out. And the reason the song says, I just want to speak the name of Jesus, is because you want to speak his name, not just say it. What did Charlie Kirk do? He didn't say, well, I'm just going to go into colleges and see what happens. He wanted to. That's the want that we all need. So I went back to the dictionary. Now, some of these might be a little tiny, and I'm sorry. I had so many words for so many slides. And I even kind of fought if I was even going to do slides, but I did. So want, for the noun part of it, and this is back in the Webster's Dictionary, 1828, defiancy, defect, the absence of which is necessary or useful, as a want of power or knowledge for any purpose, want of food or clothing, the want of money is a common want. Also, a need, necessity, the effort of deficiency. Pride is as loud as a beggar as want and more saucy. Now, some of these, they do that if you ever look at these. It's kind of interesting how this dictionary does it. But it is from Webster, Noah Webster, the one who read the Bible, knew it from the beginning to the end. So, and it was also made a long time ago, so some words are like, I don't get it. But then it's also as a verb transitive. I'm hoping I'm getting these right. This is a word of general application, as to want knowledge, to want judgment, to want learning. To be defective or efficient in, timber may want to strength or solidity to answer its purpose. To fall short, not to contain or have. The some want of a dollar of the amount of debt, nor think, though men were none, that heaven would want spectators, God want praise. And one more. To be without, the unhappy never wants enemies. To need, to have occasion for, as useful, proper, or requisite, requisite, thank you. Our manners want correction. In winter, we want a fire. In summer, we want cooling breezes. We all want more public spirit and more virtue. But there's a difference between need and want. So I went and looked what need was. It's a want, occasion for something, necessity, a state that requires supply or relief. It sometimes expresses urgent want. So the difference between want and need is almost the same. You need to be in want and want to receive the need. The way God is showing me this want is we all know we need Jesus, right? We all know. But do we truly want his spirit? Amen. His love, his faithfulness, his grace, his mercy, just him. Do we truly want those things? Yeah. We should. And, I know we're not all there. I understand. I'm still dealing with things too. He never said we'd be perfect, but we would be learning as we kept going. And that's what we need to do. We want that. We need to want that. Learn. So I went to Psalms 34, 11 through 14. It says, come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Do you truly want a life that is long and prosperous, or are you waiting for something else? In Luke 5:39, it says, but no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. And you think Apostle Keith hit on that last time. Are we ready for the new wine, or do we want to stay in the old wine? It also says in James 4:2-3, if you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. I see that a lot in Christians today. They always say that, oh, I'm having such a hard time, and this is happening, and that's happening. I mean, I've been in churches where the ears get tickled. Those are the churches I always fall asleep in. Eric used to be a Baptist. He'd take me to Baptist churches, and I'm like, no. He'd have to drag me there sometimes because I just couldn't. I'd go, I'm like, put me in the back because I know I'm going to fall asleep because there's nothing there. I wanted more. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with Baptist. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any religion or any denomination. That's why we're non-denominational, because people will be coming in here from different denominations that have never heard this stuff before. And they might go, wow, that's what I've been looking for. And they might not. They might just walk out because it's not what they're looking for. My mother-in-law was a very good example. She always wanted all this stuff to make she thought it would make her feel happy. You should have seen her place when she left, when she passed away. It was full of stuff. But it's like she wanted that love, but she never got it, so she went through stuff. So that's the thing. We have to figure out, I didn't know how big this want actually was until it was shown to me, first of all, by the question, and then after, the big light bulb came on, after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, it really hit me. What we could say, we need this, we want that, we want this, we want that. Okay, we may need this, but do we truly want it? So I've been, you know, always listening to Apostle Keith a lot and other people. And when he started saying, not my will, but thy will, I'm thinking, I had to ponder on that for a while too. And then one day I finally said it, not my will, but thy will. And things changed. I mean, this year has probably been one of my biggest years ever. I've seen so many changes in my life. I've seen changes in Eric's life. I've seen changes in a lot of people's lives. But in my life, I mean, we came in here Friday night. I felt that, you know, get back in here, start worshiping and praising together as a group. I mean, I left here sweating because the Holy Spirit just hit me so hard. And that should be our want. You don't have to come here Friday to worship. You could do it anywhere. That's the nice thing. You don't have to be at one place. It can happen anywhere you're at. Most places, most things don't happen. You have to be at a certain place to get it. But you could be anywhere. I don't know why. The bathroom seems to be the biggest place for me. I guess. I mean, I can be in the shower not thinking of anything. And poof, here it is. It's like, okay, light bulb turns on. I don't want to say it's an epiphany or anything. I just say light bulb. It's another piece to the puzzle. I'm always trying to find the puzzle pieces. A lot of puzzle pieces. But that's what I said, not my will, but thy will. And things have changed for me. In Proverbs 18:2 says, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own options. Or opinions, I'm sorry. And then in Proverbs 13:4, lazy people who want much but get little, but those who work hard will prosper. When I started saying, not my will, but thy will, about a year ago, things have changed. I am starting to look at myself as a vessel for God and not only what I want to do in life. Please remember that I am not perfect. It took me 44 years to get where I'm at right now. It takes a while. Kind of just to let you know, I feel like I was born in church. I wasn't, but I felt like it. I had parents that loved me enough to take me to church, and we've been to many different churches. We've been all over Iowa. Everybody's like, are you native born? Yep. I was in Bondurant when I was born, but then we moved up to Northwest Iowa. Then we moved down to Southeast Iowa. Then we kind of moved into the central part of Iowa. We've been all over. We've seen a lot of people, met a lot of different things. You know, people come up to me and I know you. And I'm like, okay, I don't remember who you are. I'm sorry. I've met a lot of people in my life. But then when some of you do know this, but I just want to bring it out. We moved to Colfax back in 92 of July. And when we moved there, my parents were in Marriage Ministry International, which is a great thing, saving marriages. It was great, but when that happened, they didn't know, as we all do, we have to learn, that when you have young children, you shouldn't go into that full time. Satan came after me. He won. He got me. But he didn't fully get me because I never blasphemed the Holy Spirit because I have said the prayer and all that. But I did a lot of things. I had a child out of wedlock. I held it. I hung around the worst people you could think of. I've watched a lot of movies I probably never should have seen. I had a real tough teenage years into my young adult years. And even though I wasn't fully, Satan had gotten me in areas, I still went to church. Sometimes I wanted to go because when I was in middle school, I started to learn how to run, you know, DJing and stuff like that. And it was really fun. That was something for me I really enjoyed. So it happened when we were at First Assembly on Merle Hay. I was able to go up and start doing that stuff. And that was stuff that I enjoyed. Plus, we did plays and certain things like that. Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. But when I would be, you know, like I was a football team manager, I was a volleyball team manager, I was in chorus, I was in band, I did everything I could, you know, just to have fun. But if I had a concert, I wouldn't tell my parents. I could never figure out until that was thought up. I never wanted them to be in my school. I hated them because Satan made me feel that way. And I didn't know it. And it took me years to figure out why. I'm like, why do I hate my parents? I just don't want them around. They're never home. They're never this, because they always were helping a lot of people. And I just didn't feel that I had done something wrong or whatever. But then we come to find out it was Satan. He was trying to take me away from them, which I'm glad we got that information, and I, you know, things have changed. But that happens to a lot of people, and it's sad. And that's why I want to start working with youth to help them understand that, you know, this is things that I went through just to help them out. That's why, you know, everybody else has areas like, you know, Jeff, smoking and drinking. That could be, you could be a big help to somebody. It might not work right away. Eric, when I met him, he was a really heavy drinker. Finally, 6 months, he asked me about 6 months before. He goes, will you help me and tell me when I'm drinking too much? So I did. Like, you don't need that. You know, he never listened to me. He'd do it anyway. I learned sometimes you just have to keep your mouth shut. Finally, he realized, well, if I keep drinking, I'm going to probably die and lose her. But if I stop drinking, I'll be able to keep her. And I know you've heard that story from him too. But yeah, finally he stopped. It wasn't easy. But he stopped and everything, you know, worked out. We're still together. 20 years next year. Married. So it's been... But we've had our ups and downs. My life hasn't been easy, and I'm sure everybody else's here's life hasn't been easy either. There's always rough spots. It's Satan trying to tear you down. But you just stand up and say, nope, you're not having that. But God saved me through all of that. To be honest with you, there was an accident that happened with a gentleman who had his girlfriend in the car, and they had a big van, and he only had like seats just sitting there. He took all the other seats out. He had an accident. Before that, Brennan and I were in that vehicle. He was drunk. She got him mad. He started swerving down Second, and he hit the water ridge over by Firestone. That hit me, because I'm thinking, my son and I were in that car. We could have been in that accident with him. So God has saved me through a lot of things. I'm sure we could all come up here and say something about what God has saved us from. But just because Satan thought he was going to get me, he honestly didn't. He tried hard, but it didn't work. And I thank God for that every day. I know things are changing, and that for the longest time, I mean, I used to be in Bible quiz when Daniel was. I didn't know Daniel was 5 years older than me. He hung out with John, which my best friend was his sister, Sarah. So Sarah 1, Sarah 2. And they were both the pastor's kids. So, but yeah, no, I went through that. I knew the Bible. It's taken me years to get back to learn what I've lost. I've lost a lot of things. I just keep saying, okay, Lord, it's in me. You bring it to me. And it's starting to come back little by little. So I'm still working on it from what has happened. I just thank God that things change. Things can get better. So, and I went back to, it was John 6, 26 through 29. It says, even back in the day, the people who met Jesus didn't know how to perform God's works. And in John 6, 26 through 29, it says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants you to do. Believe in the one he has sent. That's pretty simple. All you have to do is believe. Anytime. So somewhere in my spirit, I still believe during all that. Yeah, feeling it now. But yeah, it's just, I'm so glad that I'm still here and I'm doing what I'm doing. So it also says in Hosea 6:6, if you want to show love, not offer sacrifices. If you want to know me more than I want burnt offerings. So I think about the burnt offerings that people gave. Would you really want to sit there and have to burn an offering every time you made a sin? I think about the people that there's a movie out there called The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. If you can't, yeah, that's a hard one to watch, I'm telling you. But what it is back in the Nazis time, and there is a family that his father is in the death squad. And they're not far from where they have a concentration camp. And you see these, you know, when they burn the bodies, and this mother comes out and goes, "What's that smell?" And you would think, I'm thinking, I don't even know if I could even sense what that would be. But think of what that would be, what it'd be if you'd have to burn a sacrifice every time you sinned. I mean, if you kind of put those correlations together, it's like, no, thank you. I don't want to do that. And I was always told myself, I am so glad that I don't have to do this. But what we see in those last two scriptures is what it says in the song. The name of the song is, I want to speak the name of Jesus. But in the beginning, in the middle, it says, your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. When we want to seek God and believe in him, read and stand on his word, we get closer to him. GSMF is all about relationship and not religion. And this is a huge, if people understand that they can have a relationship with God and not just know him. I have friends that are like that. I've been to a friend of mine's baptism in a, she lives in Colfax, and they go to a, they call it Howard Street Christian Church. Nothing wrong with the church. They just don't understand everything. They don't have the knowledge, and we understand. And she went through it, but she cusses like a sailor, and she's not married. She was pretty one of the rough ones I dealt with when I was in school, or I hung out with. She had a boyfriend. Her mom was one of the sweetest ladies I ever met. Her name was, I better not say it. But anyway, she would make pies in her garage. She had the old, like, little turn hand style that made the apple. We'd sit there and help make apple pies with her. And it was, she still does that today. She's such a sweet lady. And, but I know what my friend's problem was. Her parents divorced when she was very young. And she also has a brother who's, has some issues too, and he was military service. She was too. She wanted to go in the Army, but she had some issues, so she had to go in the Navy, I think it was. So she wasn't too happy about that, but they do have service. They do love their country. Also, when she was probably, I think, in her teenage years, her father passed away. He was actually found like a week later after he had in his apartment, so it was hard for her. And I understand that, and we helped her through it, but then I've got other friends that are the same way. Some have kids that aren't even married. The best one is I have one friend who's actually gay. And one day he looked at me while I was in the kitchen and he goes, you know, I'm gay. You're not supposed to like me. You're supposed to hate me. I said, no. I looked at him and I said, I will get judged for what I do. You will get judged for what you do. I can't do anything to hurt you. You can't do anything to hurt me. It says, in the, you know, I said, I was always taught to love the sinner, not the sin. Ever since then, he still talks to me. He likes meeting me. He'll see me. He's still that way. I still pray for him. He knows it. He still does know somewhat of God. His dad was a pastor. He didn't speak to us for a while. We had some friends that he was wanting to kill himself, and we knew it. He had taken some meds. And we called the ambulance to get there to save him. And he got really mad at us, and his parents got mad at us. But I'm like, we saved his life. But that's been, you know, long gone, so he's not suicidal anymore, which I'm glad. But, you know, we're going to run into those people, the ones that have tattoos all over and piercings. And sometimes it's like, I mean, I've worked with people that are gay. I had a manager. And every time I got around her, I felt just so weird. Just didn't feel right. And finally, I said, why am I weird? She's still a person. I don't have to love what she does. We got along really well. And so, I mean, that's one thing. I know you get into those communities. Oh, well, you're Christian. You hate me. No, I don't. I don't hate you. You never hate the person. You just don't have to deal with, you know, you don't have to like what they do. It's like what I do in my house is not what you're going to do in your house, but you know, I don't judge you for it. And a lot of people do judging, and that's not right. We shouldn't judge people. We should help them. It's another want to help people, not want to judge. A lot of people love to judge. They think it's the best thing ever, and it's like, no, that's not it. We don't want to judge. When we want to seek God, okay, I said that, sorry. You get off the notes, and then you try to go back to see where you're at, and you're like, let's see here. GSMF is all about relation, not religion, and this is so huge if people understand that they can have a relationship with God and not just know him. Think about it this way. Religion is the law, and relationship is freedom. So it says in Galatians 4, 21 through 26 and 28 through 29. I'm sorry, like I said, small slide. It says, tell me, you who want to live under the law, do you know what the law actually says? The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his freeborn wife. The son of the slave wife was born in human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. But the son of the freeborn wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise. These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. The first woman, Hagar, I think I said that right, represents Mount Sinai, where people receive the law that enslaved them. And now Jerusalem is just like Mount Sinai in Arabia, because her and her children live in slavery to the law. But the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. She is the free woman, and she is our mother. And you, dear children, or brothers and sisters, are children of the promise, just like Isaac. But you are now being persecuted by those who want to keep the law, just as Ishmael was born by the human effort, prosecuted Isaac, the child born by the power of the Spirit. I kind of read that, and it took me a little bit to figure it out, but it's true. The first one was born to do what God had called to do, but Sarah brought in the true one, the true child. So ask yourself, do you want to live life under the law, or do you want to live in freedom? I just want to make it clear that I do understand that the Ten Commandments say, and we need to keep them. But Jesus gave us two commandments in the New Testament. In Matthew 22, 37 through 40, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." When you keep these two commandments, you are also keeping the other Ten Commandments too. That's pretty cool. Everything under two. If everything in life was like that, two things, everything was under, that'd be awesome, you know. But these are really, really important, and we need to know these. It says also in Ephesians 4, 2, it says it all. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Love holds everything together. If Jesus didn't die on the cross, what would happen? A lot of chaos. He was the love that was sent for us. I don't know if I have that in here or not. I might go through it. But it says, I think I forgot to put it in there, John 3:16. Who doesn't know John 3:16? You go to football games, John 3:16. You know, everybody knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have life. I'm sorry? Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you. That's off the top of my head. See, I'm getting there. So, for God so loved the world. Loved. There it is. Loved. If he didn't love the world, would he have sent him? Probably not. Then we'd all have to sit there like with the second heaven over us waiting 40 days just to get something back. But he loved us. Lucifer came. He loved Lucifer, hoping he would take care of the world. But then you saw what happened. You know, he keeps having all these plans, but God was the last plan. Or Jesus was the last plan, sorry. To make everything happen. And he brought love. I mean, you don't see in the Bible where he goes off and, you know, doesn't love somebody. Yes, I know he gets really hard with the Pharisees, but sometimes you have to. People need a little more to get them to understand. So that's the thing. Love. Love is so big. And in John 5, or 15, 5 through 8, so I go through the NLT and it says, Jesus is the true vine. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Far apart from me, you can do nothing. Anything or anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want. There's that want. Anything. I was looking for a lot of want in scriptures. There's actually a lot more than I thought. But that one right there, anything you want if you remain in him. That is so awesome. And you can have anything, anything. Now, I know there's a couple other things that sometimes have to, you know, happen, but I mean, anything you want blows the mind. But then it says in Romans 1, 8 through 15, let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night, I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, for whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. For I long to visit you so you can bring some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see your spiritual fruit, just as I have seen among other Gentiles. For I have great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and uneducated alike. So I am eager to come to you in Rome too to preach the good news. And that was Paul. Now I know a lot of people like to be like Paul or follow Paul. But I just like what he writes, because if you take Paul out of it, we should be saying that. We should be following the examples of Paul, not being Paul. Paul's great. What he said is awesome. It really helps. Just don't be Paul. Follow his examples, please. This was Paul and what he wanted to do for God. He was eager to see people, show them what God has done and is doing, praying for people, wanting to encourage, and so much more. Paul is a great example of what we should be doing. And like I said, I want to be clear, Paul is a great example, but don't follow Paul. Because it's easy to do. We're humans. Our flesh like to do things that we don't want it to. We just have to keep, die to flesh daily. This is why I am saying he's an example of what God wants us to do as his vessel on earth. God made us. We were born on purpose, for purpose, and with a purpose. What is your purpose God has for you? If you don't know, ask him. Want to ask him, what is my purpose? Our time is short. It's getting shorter. There's a song that DC Talk used to sing, time is ticking away. And it's true, time is ticking away. So I want to end this because this had touched my heart and helped me understand so much. It does go back to Charlie Kirk's assassination and the events before. Charlie Kirk was a man of God, as we all could see. He went into most places most people would not even step foot in. Colleges, not the place to go. Trust me. When I went to college with him, and that was just a little community college, kids look at you like you're crazy, you know, adults, you know. People are rude. They just don't understand. But he just said, use me, Lord. And that's where God told him to go. That was the best thing. To me, Charlie Kirk was Paul in our days, was like Paul in our days. He went into the fire and started to change it. Our kids were looking for someone like him or anyone to open their eyes and understand what is going on. It has been so fun to see how people are changing and wanting to change. The Facebook videos are so much fun. I used to just love to sit there and watch cats and dogs. But, I mean, other people, it's interesting. There's a gay Republican on there. I've actually subscribed to his channel because he's like, even with this shutdown that's going on, he goes, you can't believe how many Democrats come up and tell me how bad I am because, you know, I'm supposed to be like them. And he's just not the person that most people think he was. I pray for him because of his lifestyle. But it's just what he does. It's like, so what? I'm still going to speak my truth. And you don't see that a lot. People are just like, hey, we're going to speak the truth, whether you like it or not. There's this little granny. I wish I could remember her name. But she's like, I'm bringing common sense back. And it is so funny. There's one I just saw. She had like a board. They live on a farm. She has her grandsons there. And she goes, I'm going to bring macho back to men. And then she had macho, what it was, and it was something I can't remember. So she's showing her grandsons how to put a coat on a woman when they're cold or open the door for her. And, you know, stuff that happened to her when she was younger. And, you know, wearing nice glasses and stuff. And it was just such an awesome little video. Somebody could get the humor out of it. You know, it's the certain things that she said. It's just so, I know I got my mom on it. She's just a fun little, just, you know, little old granny that's just having fun. And I mean, it's truth. She'll be reading the Bible. You know, like if you go to church and all you got is lights and everything, you didn't go to church. You went to a concert. You know, she's speaking the truth. And the way she speaks it, it makes so much sense. And it's just, she's just such a cute little lady. But that's what's going on. I mean, we've got grandmas on there starting to show what common sense is all about. One time she shows up, her grandson had a bumper sticker on there, make common sense, you know, bring common sense back or something like that. And it's just, it's fun to see on Facebook, even the kids, the parents going, you know, if you don't know Jesus, let us pray for you. There's a family that's got like five kids and, you know, his little kids, Dad, will you make us lunch or something? And, you know, and they'll make it and they'll show all the family time together. It's just, it's a lot more wholesome on Facebook. Yes, there's still the garbage that you always see. But there is some more wholesome stuff. It's just, it's starting to come out. And I mean, these kids in these colleges aren't holding back anymore. They're done. I mean, I've heard college, people going to college is dropping because they're realizing that they're not getting anything out of it. Yeah, it's just, it's a waste of money for them and everybody else. I mean, now we're hearing that AI technology could start taking over everything. So you could go to college and AI could already have your job. Like it's done and, you know, where the cars are being made now, it's all done by technology because it can get done 10 times faster than with humans. But I mean, that's what's going to happen. But we can always stop it. You know, that's fine. If they want to take their jobs, that means we can go out and see people more. It's just like, I don't have this in my notes, but I was looking at that leadership book that we have for Family Fellowship. And it was talking about how you're in a meeting for 2 hours in a week. So what do you do the other 6 days and 22 hours? I'm thinking, And you know, he thought, you know, do you ever wonder if God ever looks down and says, you know, something about, oh, what was it? Why don't you spend more time in love? Something like that had to do with love. Or why do you put time limit on love? That hit me. I'm like, whoa, I do that. That's not good. I shouldn't put a time limit on love. I should be out there talking to people when I've got a chance. I should be out there doing stuff. I'm not saying you guys don't. This is just me. And that hit me, and I'm like, wow. There's so much going on in this world today. You know, the food stamps being cut off. I can see both ends of it because I used to be on it with Brendan when I was younger, or when Brendan was younger. Because some families do work and they need the help. You know, maybe I could have had some groceries. I could have taken to some of my friends and did that, but I didn't. Stuff I'm working on where I have to figure out where I can love people more that way. But going back to this Charlie Kirk thing, it says, when Eric and I went to a WMF meeting last month, there was a pastor there from Kenya. Now, I know I said this once before. He was talking about their prison ministry. And he read from this scripture. It was Acts 23, 11 through 12. That night, the Lord appeared to Paul and said, "Be encouraged, Paul. Just as you have been a witness here, witness to me here in Jerusalem, you must preach the good news in Rome as well." The next morning, a group of Jews got together and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. When he said that, I thought of Charlie Kirk. Because he went out, he was encouraged. He is a witness for him in these colleges. And he was spreading the good news. Even though some think, oh, it's all politics. No, he did both. He took politics and the Bible and put it together. I mean, you can do that. And then what happened? Somebody decided that they were just going to kill him. Because Satan didn't want him. Satan knew how bad of a person he was. He was going to destroy his whole entire kingdom. But that's the way Saul should be. I'm not saying we're going to be assassinated. That's why you pray against it. But, you know, when your feet hit that ground, that Satan should be going, oh, great, they're up. What's going to happen today? What am I going to lose? Like that Satan bite the dust video from Carmen. You know, kick out the musicians and all those demons out, you know. Give the Satan two bullets, the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. That's it. I mean, he should shake. I know Jesse DePlantis has said, when I stand up, he shakes because he knows that I'm up. That's the way we need to be strong. I know it's hard. I have the same, I mean, I'm talking to myself more than I'm probably talking to you guys. Just, I know it's not easy to get up and go, I'm up again. I got to do that. I do that a lot. But here lately, it's like, I can't be that way. I got to do this today. I got an appointment to go to. I got to take my parents somewhere. I'm going. And I do that in about 4:30. I'm just like, ugh. Now it's ready for bed. It's a lot. But just got to keep moving. That's what God would want us to do. So, yeah, let's see here. So when I heard that scripture, all I could think of was Charlie. Rome was the colleges for him, and the demons didn't like him going into their territory working for God's purpose. Charlie would say to God, "Use me, God," before he went into the colleges, and only wanted to do God's will and help our youth understand what is going on. Autocorrect there, I think. But anyway. But then on Wednesday, September 10th, when he died or was assassinated, he was assassinated Wednesday, September 10th at 12:23 p.m. Charlie Lett met our Lord and Savior. I'm sure that was a very joyous occasion. And a lot of us have said we know he's heard, "Welcome home, good and faithful servant. Then there was the scripture a couple days later that somebody found in John 12:23. And I'm going to go through 26. It says, Jesus replied, "Now is the time for the Son of Man to enter his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care for nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. I, the Father, will honor anyone who serves me." The scripture speaks volumes for Charlie and all of us. We know that Charlie started a new wave of kernels for the kingdom of heaven. We've seen it every day. What will your produce be? Do you love what is in the world? What do you truly love? This will always be about love, and it always will. You must love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. Once you do that, but then you must love your neighbor as yourself. Do you truly love yourself? That took me 43 years. I hated myself when I was a teen. I hated myself. I didn't really start loving myself till about 2 years ago. Started to, anyway. When Apostle Keith brought up the love chapter. And really went down. Are you patient with yourself? Are you kind? Do you boast? Do you envy? When you really start looking at that and asking yourself, it'll change you. Almost like discipleship. You go through discipleship, you're like, whoa. I help write the books, and I'm sitting there going, I'm typing them out, and I'm reading them in my head, and it's just like, oh, light bulb. I'll sit there, write a little, light bulb. It does. I mean, it really changes you. And that's the same thing with 1 Corinthians 13. I'd say the whole chapter. Because without love, nothing happens. You can love the entire world, but if you don't love yourself, that's the biggest thing. He asked you to love yourself because he loves you. For God so loved the world. If he didn't love the world, we'd be in a whole different situation. Besides, he loved you enough to place you at this moment. So there's your purpose. There's a purpose for you to be here at this moment. What is it? It could be the easiest thing. I don't know. I'm not God, so I don't know. But I mean, just standing there and just giving people hugs could be what your purpose is. I honestly don't know. There could be more. God's the only one that knows. I'm not the creator. Thank God. I don't know if I'd want to be a creator. I'm glad he's creator and I'm just here being his vessel. It took me a long time that when somebody sits up here, don't look at the person. Listen to the message. Because this was given to me by him. And I'm just the open vessel to get it out. Trust me, it's hitting me as I'm going through it again, going, okay. You know, you're sitting, your brain's going, okay, I got it. I got to work on this. I got to work on that. This is something I need to do. And that's the way it is. That's the way it should be. And, you know, I do want to play the song. I don't know if I have the volume up on there yet, Brennan, for the music. Okay. Because I want us to listen to the words of the song. Like I said, this song just came to us. I found the song through Charity Gale because we really like her music. And I heard it and I gave it to Apostle Keith and he goes, that's it. We need to play this song. But then after so long, he's like, why do they say I want? And I'm thinking, you know, it wasn't the song. It was that word, want. Why do they say want? And that's what it is. Because God loves you so much that he only wants the best for you. All of us. But if there's no true relationship with him, that want becomes lukewarm. And that was not from me. That was from him. Whoo, I'm getting that too. God says, either be hot or cold. The lukewarm will be spewed out of his mouth. I don't want to be spewed. That doesn't even sound good. That's like a burnt offering. That doesn't even sound good. So that's the question. Do you want to be spewed? Or do you want to be on fire so hot that no matter where you go, people feel it? Just a little light touch, like Thurman says, woo, you know. You can set that person on fire and they set another person on fire. That's the thing. One person can change anything. You don't even have to pray for somebody. Just handshaking them, saying God loves you, could change their entire world. And I love you too. I thought that was so precious of Frederica when we had that picnic and those other guys. And the first thing she said is, God loves you and we do too. People need that in these days because they don't know what's going on. I mean, my friends, one of them, she's got two children. One is autistic. And the other one is, I don't remember, she's got some issues. I love them dearly. They're some of the best friends I've had. But when this food stamp thing happened, I mean, she was just going after Trump and going after Trump and going after Trump. And I'm like, I can't say anything because right now I'm going through the workman's comp with my shoulder, so I can't put stuff on Facebook. And I wanted to reassure her, because I don't have her correct phone number, that that's not what's going on. Trump doesn't want to do that. It's the Democrats, or whoever. I shouldn't even say Democrats, but it's whoever. It's Satan that's working through these people that are trying to stop these people from living. It's not that they're being taken away from. It's not the people they think. But I watch what she puts on there, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to keep praying for her because, wow, I'm going to keep praying for her. I'm going to keep praying for her. I mean, I've even seen other friends that I have that get in fight with my other friends that are going crazy, and it's like, okay, quit fighting amongst each other, and let's just talk and listen. That's what Charlie said. Talk and listen. You're going to find out what's going on if you just listen. That's why, if most people know, I don't open my mouth much. Because I've learned a long time ago that if you keep the mouth, you hear. And that's when it can touch the heart and you can realize what's going on. But then when it's time to speak, I speak. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just goes, and you're like, okay, open zipper, I got to say something. And he's like, nope, because he knows you're going to say something wrong. I've had that. I'm sitting there biting my tongue going, come on, I got to say something. And then I hear, it's not the right time, or it's not what they need at this time. Just love on them. And that's what happens. Now, this is just me. I'm not saying it's anybody else here. I want you to understand that I'm telling you my stories. Everyone here has a different story. And one day I'd love to hear them all. I really do, because your testimony will help people. My testimony of what I went through my youth helps people. That's why I still work with my friends, because I know they're still in torment today. And I want to bring them up. I want to give them that hand up and say, come on, there's a better life than this. And I mean, there for the longest time, they didn't even talk to me. And then all of a sudden, oh, we're having a barbecue this summer. You want to come? I'm like, sure. And then it got too hot. And she had she lives in a trailer in Newton and didn't have any air conditioning. I didn't know that. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what can I do? I'd love to get her some air conditioners. And her daughter can't get overheated or she has an issue. So I went online and found some places that they could get free air conditioners. So I sent it to her. I don't know if she's done it yet, but I'm like, you need to take care of yourself. If this happens again, let me know. I might not be able to give you the money, but I'm going to be able to help you as much as I can. And that's what I love to do. That's what I want to do. I want to give these people a hand up and not tell them that you're just so worthless you can't have anything or have anything nice. Now, I know the trailer happened. That was great because her apartment wasn't the best. She's had a rough life, too. Her parents divorced. Then both of her parents have died. I was at both funerals. Plus, she's got two siblings, and a lot of the people I know have either had parents divorce or parents die young. So I think that's why God leads me to them, because I can help them in that situation. I've never had that happen. My parents are still together, but they're both alive. Thank you, Lord. They're going to be alive for a lot longer. We're not letting them go yet. They're not done. But, you know, I've been through death. I've been through the death of both my in-laws, my uncles, my grandfather, all my grandparents. It's not easy. I know what death feels like. My sister, yeah. I know what death feels like. It's not easy. But at least I can use something that I have to help them through it. So, God loves us so much and only wants what is best for us. But if there's no true relationship, that want becomes lukewarm. So I'm going to play this song and just listen to the words. Let it speak to you. Oh, there it is. I do have John 3:16. I didn't put it in my... Oh, there it is. Anyway, we know that.
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
We should want to speak the name of Jesus everywhere we go. While that song was playing, I was thinking of something when Brendan was in college and we were going to the West Des Moines DMAC. And it was during winter. And where we were, it wasn't snowing. But as soon as we hit about Hickman, it started snowing. And it got bad. So I went off on Douglas. And I don't know if I hit a patch of ice. I don't know if I fell off the road. But I started swerving back. And I couldn't catch it. And I said, Jesus! Went straight. There's also other ones, too, where people are driving and they go this way. And they say, Jesus! They pop back up and go. You know, I think about Glenn in the plane. When he ran into the mountain, what did he probably say? He probably could have said, Jesus! Took him a little bit, but he came back. I mean, you never know. That name is powerful anywhere you go. When I sing that song, speak Jesus from the mountain. Well, we're on a mountain. Speak Jesus in the street. I think about going down the street, just speaking Jesus over every enemy. I think of Des Moines. There's a lot of enemies in Des Moines right now. We know it. And then I start thinking of Iowa. Start speaking over Iowa. When he said fire, I felt fire coming out of this place. Sharon said she's seen a vision of the Bonanza map. Starts in Iowa and blows out, you know, burns out. We're here for a purpose. We got to find out what that purpose is and start moving in it. That's what God wants. And I'm going to end with Philippians 1, 9 through 10. This is Paul's thanksgiving and prayer. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Amen. I can't think of anything else to say but amen. So thank you, Lord, for having everybody here today. And the ones that aren't here, we pray over them. We just pray a hedge of protection that whatever they may be going through, things will start changing for them. We speak Jesus over them. Your name, Jesus. We speak that over them today. I ask for a hedge of protection around everyone as when they leave, so that nothing can be taken from what they've learned today, Lord. We just thank you for your presence. Your presence here is strong today. I feel it. I can feel your love. I hope everyone else here can today too. It is so precious. And I thank you for everything that has come out. And if anything came out that was not supposed to, I repent for that, Lord, because I am your vessel. And that's all I want to be. But we thank you for this gorgeous day, Lord. Even though it's going to be a little colder than most, we still thank you for it. It's a gorgeous day. Everything's in bloom the way you made it. We thank you for everything that you're doing, will doing, and will be doing. In your precious name we pray. Amen.